Another reason we all wish Harvey and Irma had never happened, they arrived very late in America's economic cycle, which could slow rebuilding. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We're getting a clearer picture of what the storms in the South have done to the economy of the United States. Economist Diane Swonk of DS Economics in Chicago has been analyzing this. Diane, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So you've been doing a deep dive into this, these weather events, as the media like to say, and you know these things can really dent the macro economy.
The economic area covered by Harvey alone was more than six times what we saw during Katrina. So you really took an enormous portion of the economy out. On top of it, you got the Sister Irma hurricane hitting much of Florida, and we still have millions of people without electricity, which is disrupting their ability to even go out and get groceries or live in the homes they have.
Now, of course, GDP, gross domestic product, doesn't care if the economic activity is driven by destruction and heartache. These things could stimulate the economy.
Yes, they can, but it happened so late in the cycle that we're already acutely short of labor and materials in the construction sector, particularly for single-family homes. And it already bid up construction costs so much that we couldn't build enough homes for entry-level buyers where demand is now growing again. So anything that happens in terms of rebuilding could not only be delayed by a shortage of labor and materials, but also could siphon off activity from elsewhere in the country where we are already short on inventory of new homes.
All right. Economist Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics, thank you for this.
Thank you.
You may not be an expert on economics or fiscal policy, but do what you can with this. It's a tweet yesterday from the President of the United States. Here it is in its entirety. With Irma and Harvey devastation, tax cuts and tax reform is needed more than ever before. Go, Congress, go. President Trump is blocking a $1.3 billion sale of Oregon-based Lattice Semiconductor, which makes advanced computer chips, to a Chinese-backed firm. The administration cited national security. The BBC's Juliana Liu in Hong Kong filed this for us.
U.S.-based Canyon Bridge Capital had offered $1.3 billion for Lattice Semiconductor, a struggling chipmaker. In the past 2 years, it had suffered falling revenue and even losses. So why would anyone pay a premium for it? Well, it makes something called field programmable gate arrays. These are chips that allow firms to install their own software. Lattice had said it no longer sold these chips to the U.S. military. But some of its direct competitors still do. In barring the sale, the U.S. government cited risks to national security. It was concerned about the Chinese government's role in supporting the deal and the possible transfer of the company's technology. The decision has been criticized by a Chinese government spokesman.
The BBC's Juliana Liu in Hong Kong. A story that may never go away, the Equifax hack that emerged last week where thieves got access to Social Security numbers, driver's licenses, addresses of about 143 million people, 44% of America. Equifax, as you would imagine, is looking into how the hackers got in and now says it was the good old Apache Struts CVE 2017-5638. That's a piece of software with clearly a vulnerability. The mess, as we've been reporting, has prompted calls in Washington for greater scrutiny of the credit reporting industry, where there are three key players, Equifax here, plus Experian and TransUnion. Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan came in here looking disgusted and dismayed. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
I've been doing a lot of coverage about the personal finance aspects here, about whether or not it's best to just keep an eye vaguely on your credit, whether you want to go the whole hog and lock down your credit. And you're asking yourself deeper questions about this whole industry.
Right. I started reading how first these institutions sit in judgment of you in the financial equivalent of heaven and hand down, you know, commandments and rulings. But on the other hand, if you have a problem often caused by them, you can go and freeze your accounts, but you have to pay them. So they collect from the people for whom they rate you, and then they collect from you to make sure you don't get messed up by the rating. It's unbelievable.
I also learned since the story of the great hack emerged that this is an industry like many industries that was hoping for further deregulation with the Trump administration and this Congress.
Well, of course. And I've been reading these stories and sort of laughing about the legislation these companies were sponsoring, which I suspect now may not pass at least this year.
All right, this year, but you think that ultimately the regulatory structure of this industry gets changed by this massive data intrusion?
I don't think so, because in the end, the attention span in our business and in Washington is about 12 seconds, you know, until the president's next tweet. And there are going to be all of these investigations and all of these leaks and all of these emails, and there'll be uproar and shrieking, and I'm sure the heads of the three companies will be called in and excoriated and embarrassed. But I suspect in the end, little or nothing will actually change.
All right. Alan Sloan is also editor at large at ProPublica. Alan, always good to see you.
David, I give you a lot of credit for bringing up this topic.
Credit. I get it. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And the Wisconsin legislature could vote today on $3 billion in incentives to get Taiwan's Foxconn to build a tech assembly plant there. After that, it's up to the governor. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.